something that waited in the distance. The feeling that it was good, that it was welcoming, that it was significant. But he did not know how to get there. He tried to shed the leftover dream, gathering his schoolwork and preparing for the day. School seemed a little different today. The classes were the same, language and communications, commerce and industry, science and technology, civil procedures and government. But during the breaks for recreation periods and the midday meal, the other new 12s were abuzz with descriptions of their first day of training. All of them talked at once, interrupting each other, hastily making the required apology for interrupting, then forgetting again in the excitement of describing the new experiences. Jonas listened. He was very aware of his own admonition not to discuss his training. But it would have been impossible anyway. There was no way to describe to his friends what he had experienced there in the annex room. How could you describe a sled without describing a hill and snow? And how could you describe a hill and snow to someone who had never felt height or wind or that feathery magical cold? Even trained for years, as they all had been in precision of language, what words could you use which would give another the experience of sunshine? So it was easy for Jonas to be still and to listen. After school hours, he rode again beside Fiona to the house of the old. "I looked for you yesterday," she told him, "so we could ride home together. Your bike was still there, and I waited for a little while, but it was getting late, so I went on home." "I apologize for making you wait," Jonas said. "I accept your apology," she replied, automatically. "I stayed a little longer than I expected," Jonas explained. She pedaled forward, silently, and he knew that she expected him to tell her why. She expected him to describe his first day of training, but to ask would have fallen into the category of rudeness. "You've been doing so many volunteer hours with the old," Jonas said, changing the subject. "There won't be much that you don't already know." "Oh, there's lots to learn," Fiona replied. "There's administrative work and the dietary rules and punishment for disobedience. Did you know that they use a discipline wand on the old, the same as for small children? And there's occupational therapy and recreational activities and medications and..." They reached the building and braked their bikes. "I really think I like it better than school," Fiona confessed. "Me too," Jonas agreed, wheeling his bike into its place. She waited for a second, as if again she expected him to go on. Then she looked at her watch, waved, and hurried toward the entrance. Jonas stood for a moment beside his bike, startled. It had happened again. The thing that he thought of now as seeing beyond. This time it had been Fiona who had undergone that fleeting, indescribable change. As he looked up and toward her going through the door, it happened. She changed. Actually, Jonas thought, trying to recreate it in his mind, it wasn't Fiona in her entirety. It seemed to be just her hair. And just for that flickering instant, he ran through it in his mind. It was clearly beginning to happen more often. First, the apple a few weeks before. The next time had been the faces in the audience at the auditorium just 2 days ago. Now, today, Fiona's hair. Frowning, Jonas walked toward the annex. "I will ask the giver," he decided. The old man looked up, smiling, when Jonas entered the room. He was already seated beside the bed, and he seemed more energetic today, slightly renewed, and glad to see Jonas. "Welcome," he said. "We must get started. You're 1 minute late." "I apologize," Jonas began, and then stopped, flustered, remembering there were to be no apologies. He removed his tunic and went to the bed. "I'm 1 minute late because something happened," he explained, "and I'd like to ask you about it, if you don't mind."
"You may ask me anything."
Jonas tried to sort it out in his mind so that he could explain it clearly. "I think it's what you call seeing beyond," he said.
The giver nodded. "Describe it," he said.
Jonas told him about the experience with the apple, and then the moment on the stage when he had looked out and seen the same phenomenon in the faces of the crowd. "Then today, just now, outside, it happened with my friend Fiona. She herself didn't change exactly, but something about her changed for a second. Her hair looked different, but not in its shape, not in its length. I can't quite..." Jonas paused, frustrated by his inability to grasp and describe exactly what had occurred. Finally, he simply said, "It changed. I don't know how or why." "That's why I was 1 minute late," he concluded, and looked questioningly at the giver. To his surprise, the old man asked him a question which seemed unrelated to the seeing beyond.
"When I gave you the memory yesterday, the first one, the ride on the sled, did you look around?"
Jonas nodded.
"Yes," he said, "but the stuff, I mean, the snow in the air made it hard to see anything."
"Did you look at the sled?"
Jonas thought back.
"No, I only felt it under me. I dreamed of it last night, too. But I don't remember seeing the sled in my dream either, just feeling it."
The giver seemed to be thinking.
"When I was observing you, before the selection, I perceived that you probably had the capacity, and what you describe confirms that. It happened somewhat differently to me," the giver told him. "When I was just your age, about to become the new receiver, I began to experience it, though it took a different form. With me, it was, well, I won't describe that now. You wouldn't understand it yet. But I think I can guess how it's happening with you. Let me just make a little test to confirm my guess. Lie down."
Jonas lay on the bed again with his hands at his sides. He felt comfortable here now. He closed his eyes and waited for the familiar feel of the giver's hands on his back. But it didn't come. Instead, the giver instructed him,
"Call back the memory of the ride on the sled. Just the beginning of it, where you're at the top of the hill before the slide starts. And this time, look down at the sled."
Jonas was puzzled. He opened his eyes.
"Excuse me," he asked politely, "but don't you have to give me the memory?"
"It's your memory now. It's not mine to experience any longer. I gave it away."
"But how can I call it back?"
"You can remember last year, or the year that you were a 7 or a 5, can't you?"
"Of course."
"It's much the same. Everyone in the community has one generation memories like those. But now you will be able to go back farther. Try. Just concentrate."
Jonas closed his eyes again. He took a deep breath and sought the sled and the hill and the snow in his consciousness.
There they were, with no effort. He was again sitting in that whirling world of snowflakes atop the hill. Jonas grinned with delight and blew his own steamy breath into view. Then, as he had been instructed, he looked down. He saw his own hands, furred again with snow, holding the rope. He saw his legs and moved them aside for a glimpse of the sled beneath. Dumbfounded, he stared at it. This time it was not a fleeting impression. This time the sled had, and continued to have, as he blinked and stared at it again, that same mysterious quality that the apple had had so briefly. And Fiona's hair. The sled did not change. It simply was. Whatever the thing was.
Jonas opened his eyes and was still on the bed. The giver was watching him curiously.
"Yes,"
Jonas said slowly.
"I saw it in the sled."
"Let me try one more thing. Look over there to the bookcase. Do you see the very top row of books, the ones behind the table on the top shelf?"
Jonas sought them with his eyes. He stared at them. And they changed. But the change was fleeting. It slipped away the next instant.
"It happened," Jonas said. "It happened to the books, but it went away again."
"I'm right, then," the giver said. "You're beginning to see the color red."
"The what?"
The giver sighed.
"How to explain this? Once, back in the time of the memories, everything had a shape and size, the way things still do, but they also had a quality called color. There were a lot of colors, and one of them was called red. That's the one you are starting to see. Your friend Fiona has red hair. Quite distinctive, actually. I've noticed it before.
When you mentioned Fiona's hair, it was the clue that told me you were probably beginning to see the color red.
And the faces of people? The ones I saw at the ceremony?
The giver shook his head. No, flesh isn't red, but it has red tones in it. There was a time, actually, you'll see this in the memories later, when flesh was many different colors. That was before we went to sameness. Today, flesh is all the same. And what you saw was the red tones. Probably when you saw the faces take on color, it wasn't as deep or vibrant as the apple or your friend's hair. The giver chuckled suddenly.
We've never completely mastered sameness. I suppose the genetic scientists are still hard at work trying to work the kinks out. Hair like Fiona's must drive them crazy.
Jonas listened, trying hard to comprehend. And the sled? He said. It had that same thing, the color red. But it didn't change, giver. It just was.
Because it's a memory from the time when color was.
It was so... Oh, I wish language were more precise. The red was so beautiful.
The giver nodded.
It is.
Do you see it all the time?
I see all of them, all the colors.
Will I?
Of course. When you receive the memories, you have the capacity to see beyond. You'll gain wisdom then, along with colors, and lots more.
Jonas wasn't interested just then in wisdom. It was the colors that fascinated him. Why can't everyone see them? Why did colors disappear?
The giver shrugged.
Our people made that choice, the choice to go to sameness. Before my time, before the previous time, back and back and back, we relinquished color when we relinquished sunshine and did away with differences.
He thought for a moment.
We gained control of many things, but we had to let go of others.
We shouldn't have,
Jonas said fiercely. The giver looked startled at the certainty of Jonas's reaction. Then he smiled wryly.
You've come very quickly to that conclusion, he said. It took me many years. Maybe your wisdom will come much more quickly than mine.
He glanced at the wall clock.
Lie back down now. We have so much to do.
Giver?
Jonas asked as he arranged himself again on the bed.
How did it happen to you when you were becoming the receiver? You said that the seeing beyond happened to you, but not the same way.
The hands came to his back.
Another day, the giver said gently. I'll tell you another day. Now we must work. And I've thought of a way to help you with the concept of color. Close your eyes and be still now. I'm going to give you a memory of a rainbow.
Days went by, and weeks. Jonas learned, through the memories, the names of colors. And now he began to see them all, in his ordinary life, though he knew it was ordinary no longer and would never be again. But they didn't last. There would be a glimpse of green, the landscaped lawn around the central plaza, a bush on the riverbank, the bright orange of pumpkins being trucked in from the agricultural fields beyond the community boundary, seen in an instant, the flash of brilliant color, but gone again, returning to their flat and hueless shade. The giver told him that it would be a very long time before he had the colors to keep.
But I want them, Jonas said angrily. It isn't fair that nothing has color.
Not fair?
The giver looked at Jonas curiously.
Explain what you mean.
Well,
Jonas had to stop and think it through.
If everything's the same, then there aren't any choices. I want to wake up in the morning and decide things, a blue tunic or a red one.
He looked down at himself, at the colorless fabric of his clothing.
But it's all the same. Always.
Then he laughed a little.
I know it's not important. What you wear, it doesn't matter, but
it's the choosing that's important, isn't it?
The giver asked him. Jonas nodded.
My little brother, he began, and then corrected himself. No, that's inaccurate. He's not my brother, not really. But this new child that my family takes care of, his name's Gabriel.
Yes, I know about Gabriel.
Well, he's right at the age where he's learning so much. He grabs toys when we hold them in front of him. My father says he's learning small muscle control, and he's really cute.
The giver nodded.
But now that I can see colors, at least sometimes, I was just thinking, what if we could hold up things that were bright red or bright yellow, and he could choose, instead of the sameness?
He might make wrong choices.
Oh.
Jonas was silent for a minute.
Oh, I see what you mean. It wouldn't matter for a new child's toy, but later it does matter, doesn't it? We don't dare to let people make choices of their own.
Not safe? The giver suggested.
Definitely not safe, Jonas said with certainty. What if they were allowed to choose their own mate and chose wrong? Or what if, he went on, almost laughing at the absurdity, they chose their own jobs?
Frightening, isn't it?
The giver said. Jonas chuckled.
Very frightening. I can't even imagine it. We really have to protect people from wrong choices.
It's safer.
Yes, Jonas agreed. Much safer.
But when the conversation turned to other things, Jonas was left still, with a feeling of frustration that he didn't understand. He found that he was often angry now, irrationally angry at his groupmates, that they were satisfied with their lives, which had none of the vibrance his own was taking on, and he was angry at himself, that he could not change that for them. He tried, without asking permission from the giver, because he feared, or knew, that it would be denied. He tried to give his new awareness to his friends.
Asher, Jonas said one morning, look at those flowers very carefully.
They were standing beside a bed of geraniums planted near the Hall of Open Records. He put his hands on Asher's shoulders and concentrated on the red of the petals, trying to hold it as long as he could, and trying at the same time to transmit the awareness of red to his friend.
What's the matter? Asher asked uneasily. Is something wrong?
He moved away from Jonas's hands. It was extremely rude for one citizen to touch another outside of family units.
No, nothing. I thought for a minute that they were wilting, and we should let the gardening crew know they needed more watering.
Jonas sighed and turned away. One evening, he came home from his training, weighted with new knowledge. The giver had chosen a startling and disturbing memory that day. Under the touch of his hands, Jonas had found himself suddenly in a place that was completely alien. Hot and wind-swept under a vast blue sky. There were tufts of sparse grass, a few bushes and rocks, and nearby he could see an area of thicker vegetation, broad, low trees outlined against the sky. He could hear noises, the sharp crack of weapons. He perceived the word guns, and then shouts, and an immense crashing thud as something fell, tearing branches from the trees. He heard voices calling to one another. Peering from the place where he stood hidden behind some shrubbery, he was reminded of what the giver had told him, that there had been a time when flesh had different colors. Two of these men had dark brown skin. The others were light. Going closer, he watched them hack the tusks from a motionless elephant on the ground and haul them away, spattered with blood. He felt himself overwhelmed with a new perception of the color he knew as red. Then the men were gone, speeding toward the horizon in a vehicle that spit pebbles from its whirling tires. One hit his forehead and stung him there. But the memory continued, though Jonas ached now for it to end. Now he saw another elephant emerge from the place where it had stood hidden in the trees. Very slowly, it walked to the mutilated body and looked down. With its sinuous trunk, it stroked the huge corpse. Then it reached up, broke some leafy branches with a snap, and draped them over the mass of torn, thick flesh. Finally, it tilted its massive head, raised its trunk, and roared into the empty landscape.
Jonas had never heard such a sound.